As we continue in worship, we have the opportunity to turn towards the scriptures. We're in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, the 25th chapter, verses 6 through 9. It says, "On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shrewd that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth. For the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, 'Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation.' This is the word of the Lord for the people of God." Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, we've mentioned the names of those who have passed on from this church over the past year. We've been doing this for many years, and up here on the altar is this really cool cloth with leaves of fabric from folks who have passed on. And as each person passes, their family is invited to bring a piece of fabric that's added to this altar cloth, and it continues to grow, and it continues to develop as we remember the saints. Each year on this special day, we give thanks for all those who have been part of the family of God and specifically this community of faith over the years. In fact, those who were remembered this morning were part of this community for many of them more than 30 years. They supported this church in so many ways. They served and they created, they taught, they cared for. They gave both of themselves and of their resources in so many ways. This morning, the scripture I chose to look at comes from the prophet Isaiah. The book of Isaiah was primarily directed to the people of Judah who were undergoing a tough period of oppression and desolation due to foreign rule. To give a little background of this morning's little short text, the setting of this morning's reading is a great feast prepared by the Lord himself on Mount Zion, the highest point in Jerusalem. A feast prepared. We know about feasts. We're real good at all-you-can-eat buffets, Thanksgiving dinners, and church potlucks. We know what a feast looks like. The scripture says that the feast is filled with a table of the finest foods and aged wines, symbolizing the abundance and blessings of God. Ultimately, this feast God wanted the people to know of God's abundant love. The guests at this feast were not just any ordinary people, but a diverse gathering of individuals from all nations and backgrounds. Isaiah says this magnificent banquet will not be only for Israelites, but for all people. Seated at the table were the poor, the oppressed, the marginalized, the outcast. They've been invited to partake of this feast as a symbol of God's love and mercy. The atmosphere of the feast is one of joy and celebration and unity as people from different walks of life come together and share in the goodness of the Lord. The feast serves as a powerful image of hope and joy, of community and togetherness, where all are welcome to partake in the eternal blessings of the kingdom of God, represents redemption, deliverance, offering a place of comfort and fulfillment. You see, the feast is more than just food. It's a spiritual banquet that God is preparing for everyone, regardless of who they are or where they come from. Now, on this day, we remember the saints. Christians grieve just as all other people grieve over the coming of death, over tragedy and injustice, over the shortness of life. We need to never apologize for our feelings or the expression of those feelings. Jesus wept. Jesus knew what it meant to hurt. Jesus walked with people, shed tears in grief. Over 50 years ago, a pastor wrote a book called Good Grief, and in that book, talks about grief and four things that can come out of grief, good grief. You see, God continues to work for the good of those who love him. Even in our grief, God brings hope and transformation. Granger Westberg says, grief is good when we come out of our grief experience at a slightly higher level of maturity than before. He says, grief is good when we come out of our grief as deeper persons because we have been down to the depths of despair and know what it is like. He says, grief is good when we come out of it stronger, for we have had to learn how to use our spiritual muscles to climb the rugged mountain trails. He says, grief is good when we come out of it better able to help others. We've walked through the valley of the shadow of death or of grief, and we can understand. Today is a reminder that even as we give thanks and we celebrate, we also grieve the loss of these saints, those loved ones. Maybe you have experienced a loss of a loved one, and you'll light a candle here in a little while. Maybe you've experienced grief in some other way, some other hardship in your life. Friends, God's grace and love will ultimately prevail. God is assuring us that God will overcome the obstacles and challenges and bring an end to suffering and granting eternal life by wiping away tears and defeating death. Friends, light is greater than darkness. God's love for you and for me is greater than the darkness that we experience. And these verses from the prophet Isaiah serve as a reminder of God's enduring faithfulness and commitment to his people. It encourages us to have an unwavering trust in God's salvation, even in the face of adversity. Theologian Walter Brueggemann said, "The work of hope is an act of yielding in the present to the assurances given for God's future. This promise is that the absolute, seemingly resolute disgrace of death will be swallowed up. The disgrace of being helpless, powerless, and exploited, the shame of being stepped on and not being able to resist the powers of death, it is the humiliation of being to the bottom of our lives, ultimately inadequate. Now all of that will be overcome." You see, even in the grief we experience, God is at work so that we might be reminded of presence to change the world. A beautiful reminder that even in the lowest and darkest moments, we look forward to a future of God's joy. This past week, within the last couple weeks, but this past week in particular, I got a Facebook message from someone from a previous church that said, "Did you hear of what happened to the McCallums?" Said, "I hadn't heard." They said, "Well, they were involved in a car accident and the children were thrown from the car." And this week they posted that two of the children, 10 and 8, passed. But they also posted that even in the nightmare of what is, God is at work. And they're donating some of the children's organs to help other people, children who are in need. You know, I was wondering how many other situations happen where something started or began or continues on because of someone, when someone went through a tough time or when someone walked with someone through a tough time. You see, we come together in unity and community and we work for the greater good. That God is continually God and will be God day after day after day. And we find strength and support in one another, reminding us that we're not alone on our journey. The feast that we read about represents a beautiful gift of connectedness that nourishes our souls. The feast, it cultivates a sense of community that God has placed us in families and with one another to support and lift one another up. See, the scripture that we read in the Old Testament and the prophet Isaiah illustrates the heart of the gospel, the heart of Jesus. It's about reaching everyone. It's about Jews and Gentiles alike, regardless of their past or circumstance, that Jesus came to be with them, to save them. Save us. This is God's embrace of humanity in its entirety, inviting all to partake in the fellowship that is offered through Christ. Friends, may we cling to that as we grieve, as we hope, as we love, where tears are shed, where joy is expressed. May this be our anchor that provides the strength to persevere, grounded in the certainty of God's unfailing promise of a future, filled with reconciliation and restoration and reunion. Reunion with the saints. Reunion with God as God intended it for it to be. Let us pray. God, we love you and we thank you for this time together. We thank you for the opportunity to remember the saints and be reminded of the feast that you prepared for all peoples. Greater than we could ever dream or imagine, and one that we're all invited to. One that you have a desire for everyone to know, to taste and experience. May we lean upon and be nourished by your word today, that as we leave this place, we might be vessels of your love and hope for the world that so desperately needs it. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen.